بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة، صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When we look around at our lives and the world as a whole, we find ourselves placed in some type of responsibility, in some type of role, be it a father, be it a mother, be it a teacher in a school, be it a CEO of a company, be it the president of the country. In some time or the other, we are placed in roles. And in some time or the other, we have been placed or given leadership roles. Be it a president of the country leading his countrymen, be it a doctor leading his nurses, be it a businessman leading his staff, be it the principal leading his school, be it a parent leading her children. In some time or the other, we have been given leadership roles by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to be successful in these roles as of leadership, in order to be successful leaders, we need to possess good leadership qualities and good leadership traits. When you look in the world around us, we find governments are failing, the healthcare is failing, institutions are failing, many state schools are failing. And when we look at the core problem of these institutes and these problems, then we find that there's a lack of leadership, there's lack of leadership skills, there's lack of leadership qualities and traits, and that has resulted in the failure of our systems. In the ayah I've recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very clearly that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed in the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a good example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us as a role model. And not only as a role model to teach us how to eat or how to sleep, but a holistic role model. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a holistic role model from how to enter the toilet to how to lead the ummah. From how to enter the toilet to how to lead the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us as a holistic role model. Respected brothers, this brings me to my topic this afternoon, and that is the leadership in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at the Western leaders, we find that they have mentioned a number of qualities and traits of leadership. But when we look deep in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every aspect of his life was of a leadership role. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of leaders. So today I want to focus our attention on the leadership qualities, the leadership traits that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed in his life, so that you and I, when we are placed in leadership roles, we could implement and apply these qualities and traits of leadership which we learn not from the Western world, but we learn from the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Long before Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the titles of Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, the trustworthy, the truthful, the honest person. Once a Sahabi by the name of Qais bin Sa'ib al-Makhzumi radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and myself were business partners. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of business partners. Never did he quarrel, never did he get into an argument. This was the honesty and the integrity that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed for us. Respected brothers, if we as leaders do not display honesty and integrity, what do we expect from our subordinates? What is integrity, respected brothers? Is to do the right thing, whether people are looking at us or not. Again, when you look at our our own country, our own institutions, our own political system, we find it is failing day by day because of the lack of honesty, because of the lack of integrity, and because of corruption which has engulfed our leaders. So our leaders are lacking good quality, good leadership qualities, and good leadership traits. That has resulted in systems and political systems failing. And on one hand, we look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago, displaying honesty and integrity. What is leadership, respected brothers? In English, it is defined as a person who knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. When you look at the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find he was a leader who knew the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way. He knew the way of righteousness and perfection. And he went the way. He himself was practical. He himself led a life of perfection and righteousness. And he showed the way. He showed the way to his ummah. He showed the way of perfection. He showed the way of righteousness to the ummah. So when we look at this definition in English of leadership, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fits in perfectly and even more in this definition of leadership. It was the morning of Badr. Sahaba radiallahu anhu just completed the Fajr Salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to prepare his army against the kuffar. It was the famous and historic battle of Badr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to straighten the safs of his warriors, of his soldiers, of his companions, radiallahu anhum. And with his spear, he's going from one sahabi to the other to straighten their safs. And he comes across the sahabi who was out of line. He was not straight in his saf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very compassionately, he uses his spear to put the sahabi into line. He uses his spear to push the sahabi back into line. And immediately, the sahabi turns to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, O Nabi of Allah, you have hurt me. I want to take revenge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately being a perfect and true leader, he immediately accepts blame. He is accountable. He lifts up his kurta mubarak. And now he allows the sahabi to take revenge on him. Nevertheless, the sahabi did not take revenge on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point I'm getting across is the quality and the trait of leadership, which is accountability. It is such a trait and quality that every single leader of ours today lacks accountability. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being correct here, very compassionately he was straightening the steps of the sahaba ikram. But immediately, he accepts accountability and accepts blame. What is accountability, respected brothers? To take a little more of your share of the blame and a little less of your share of the credit. To take a little more of your share of the blame and to take a little less of your share of the credit. In today's time when everyone wants credit, full credit, and they want to shift blame to others, to their subordinates, to their staff, to their friends and their families. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago, he displays the quality of accountability. This is a very important quality and trait of leadership. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the title of Jawami'ul Kalim, a person who said a few words but has a vast meaning. It was the time of Hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the journey of Hijrah, migrating from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara, and he decides to take a break, to take some rest and to have something to eat, and he stops by the tent of none other than Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. And Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha and her husband were well known for their hospitality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes rest in their tent, has something to eat, and proceeds with the Hijrah. Much later, Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha now describes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and look at what she describes of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She describes the communication of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is another important leadership trait and quality of being a good communicator. What is the good communicator? A person who is clear, he's concise, he's audible. Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha, she begins to describe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's speech, and she mentions that when he spoke, he was clear, he was audible, he was concise. When he spoke, his speech was not excessive, he was to the point. When he spoke with such a flow, as if like jewels falling from a necklace, in the manner it flows from the necklace, the jewels flow from the necklace. That was the words emanating from the Mubarak mouth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It flowed from his mouth Mubarak. So an important quality trait, a quality and trait of leadership, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again displays to us. And today we find there's fallouts amongst family members, there's fallout amongst friends, there's fallout in business houses, there's fallout in government levels, because of the breakdown in communication. Because of miscommunication, so many issues result from miscommunications today. Today we are afraid, respected brothers, to take the big step of empowering our youth, of delegating tasks to our children, to our students, to our staff and employees. And it was the pledge of Aqaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sending this group back to Madinah Munawwara. And this is the very early stages of Islam. And he calls the youngster, none other than Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu an. And he says, oh Mus'ab, accompany this group to Madinah Munawwara. And I am making you responsible of a very important task. Now remember, this is the early days of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed someone, he needed to delegate and empower someone to teach the teachings of Islam and deen to this group of people who had just taken bay'ah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he calls the youngster Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. He said, oh Mus'ab, accompany these people to Madinah Munawwara and teach them the teachings of Islam and deen. Mus'ab bin Umayr was in the prime of his youth. And now he's given this big task and responsibility of teaching this group of people on Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a step which we are afraid as teachers, as parents, we are afraid to take the step of delegating and empowering our children, our students, to take on responsibilities. It was the time of the battle against the Romans, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preparing his army, and in this army was senior sahaba, senior in rank, senior in righteousness, and senior in age. But despite of the seniority of the sahaba ikram, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam appoints Usama bin Zaid, the 18 or 19 year old young sahabi, he appoints Usama bin Zaid as the amir and the leader of the army, which consisted and comprised of senior sahaba in status and rank. And this was in the latter part of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, showing the ummah the importance of empowering, the importance of delegating responsibilities to our youth, to make them adults, to make them men. Respected brothers, Madinah Munawwara was surrounded by 10,000 kuffar, and the sahaba were worried, were concerned that there's going to be an onslaught against the Muslims. They turned to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam for help. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known as a visionary, as a strategist, as a succession planner. Things which we lack in today's time as leaders, in terms of strategy, in terms of succession plan. When you look at our forefathers who came into this country, they came with a plan. They came with an idea. They came with a strategy. They came with a succession plan. And that is, and that was, to preserve the deen of you and I. That was to preserve the deen of their progeny to come in this country. And they established masajid and they established makatib that today you and I are enjoying the fruits of their vision, of their strategy, of their succession plan. Can I pose a question to the audience today? And can I ask you, what plan do we have in place? What strategy or succession plan do we have in place for our youth, for our progeny to come into this country? Have we, as the Muslims of South Africa, have we laid the foundation for our progeny to come into this country? What is the succession plan of our Muslim organizations, our Muslim schools, our Muslim institutes, of our masajid, of our Muslim companies, of our Muslim businesses? Do we have a plan in place? Look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we understand he was not an old-fashioned Nabi. 1400 years ago, when today companies are talking of strategic planning, when today companies are talking of vision, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us what vision 1400 years ago. So it was 10,000 kuffar coming towards Madinah Munawwara from all sides. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns to his sahaba, to his companions, and he said, "Oh my sahaba, let us plan, let us strategize." And it was the master plan of Salman Farsi radiallahu an, that, "Oh Nabi of Allah, let us dig trenches around Madinah Munawwara." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepts this proposal, he accepts this plan, and this strategy. They implement the strategy, they dig trenches around Madinah Munawwara, and this saves the Muslims of that time from a great catastrophe, from a great onslaught. Respected brothers, when you look at Hajjatul Wida, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's final sermon or pilgrimage, and in this final sermon, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam begins to advise Sahaba Kiram very subtly. He is hinting towards that this would be very close to his demise and his last pilgrimage. And he's advising Sahaba Kiram one after the other, and he comes to the point where he says, "Oh my Sahaba, I leave behind something if you hold firm onto. If you hold firm onto this, you will never be misguided. And I leave the Quran and Sunnah behind for you, O my Sahaba." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves a legacy behind. He leaves manuals behind. He leaves a plan for Sahaba to follow. "This is the plan, O my Sahaba. This is my vision, O my Sahaba. Follow these two things and you will never be misguided." It was the last, or the illness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam which led to his demise. And in this illness, he calls the Sahaba Ikram and he begins to praise Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an. And in his praises, he now subtly hints at his succession plan, that life after Nabi, who would be the successor, would be none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Very subtly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions this in the praise of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an. This was his plan, this was his succession plan, that life after Nabi, life after the Muslim community, the current Muslim community, what would be the life for the Muslim progeny to come after us, respected brothers? A very important quality trait of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was he always led from the front. And it is mentioned, as we mentioned in the start, the definition of leadership is to know the way, to go the way, and to show the way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he knew the way, he went the way, he showed the way, and he implemented the way. He led from the front, he led the way, he led his sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in. We as a community, respected brothers, we want to leave it to the next person to do things. We are more reactive, we are not proactive, and then what it results into? It results into us as an entire community collectively failing. We always feel the other person is responsible of this. We do not lead from the front as Muslims of the world. It was the Battle of Trench again, and the great master plan of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhum, and And his plan was to dig trenches. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first to start the digging of the trench. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being the leader, despite being the Nabi of Allah, he displayed utmost humility and he led from the front and he showed the Sahaba how it's done. The digging of the trench had nothing to do with deen. This was something to do with construction, with building. But even in this aspect and this department, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that he's a holistic role model for the ummah. He was a holistic role model for the ummah. In terms of digging the trench, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically participated in the digging of the trench. When it came to construction of and building of Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together with Sahaba physically, he constructed and built Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us a practical example of leading from the front. A leader is not a person who does not do the work and he only delegates all the work. But he's also involved with his subordinates. He's also involved with the ummah. He's also involved with his children. He's also involved with his students. He's also involved as a president of the country. He's involved with the citizens of the country. As the leader of the ummah, he's involved with the ummah in leading from the front, respected brothers. It was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and the conditions of the treaty were unfavorable for the Muslims. Sahaba are utterly upset. They are not happy with the conditions of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the conditions listed by the kuffar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his wisdom, he accepted this treaty. And now he tells his companion, he tells the Sahaba, that we have to go back home. We have to go back to Medina Munawwara. So slaughter your animals, shave off your hair, come out of your haram and proceed to Medina Munawwara. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they're absolutely silent. They're not moving an inch. They are upset with the conditions of the treaty. The actions are telling our Nabi that how can we accept this treaty and this condition that the kuffar put on the table? Let us continue negotiations. We are not prepared. We came here with much sacrifice and hardship. We are not prepared to go back to Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his wife Umm Salama radiallahu anha and he says, "Oh my beloved wife," and he relates the incident to her, the incident which just transpired between him and the Sahaba ikram. She says, "Oh my Nabi, they are naturally angered and upset with the conditions which are unfavorable towards the Muslims. Why don't you lead from the front and as a role model and an example to them, you go slaughter your animal, shave off your hair, come out of Ihram and proceed to Medina Munawwara. They will follow suit, inshallah." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, he takes the advice of his wife Umm Salama radiallahu anha, he slaughters his animal, he shaves off his hair, he comes out of Ihram, he proceeds to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba ikram one by one follow suit after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, once again, displaying the true leadership qualities and traits to us. And this time, it was the quality and trait of leading from the front. Respected brothers, from the above mentioned few qualities and traits of the leadership of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to us as a holistic role model. And if we adopt the sunnah holistically, then not only our eating or drinking, or not only our clothing, but holistically, every aspect of the sunnah we implement, inshallah, once again, we will become good and successful Muslim leaders. We will fulfill our leadership role successfully once again, inshallah. And, you know, the Sahaba Kiram and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many incidents where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life, every aspect, he displayed leadership role. And he showed us when they during the Fath Makkah, they conquered Makkah. But it is mentioned that when they entered in Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned his beard Mubarak was touching the saddle of his camel. His posture was such a humble posture, such a great victory. They conquered Makkah. They entered in Makkah. He's a leader of his warriors. But at that time also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is displaying to us the quality and the trait of leadership of humility. He's bowed down. He's lowering his body in out of true humility. 1400 years ago, respected brothers, and to round up and to end off here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the solution of being anti-racist. You know, the past 25 to 30 years we're debating of how to abolish racism from this country. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done and dusted with this topic 1400 years ago. Bilal radiallahu an, the black Abyssinian slave, was tortured, was abused, was dragged on the deserts of Makkah, the hot sands of Makkah. He was abused by his leaders. He was ridiculed. He was mocked at. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displays practically, not just by a talk, but practically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lifts the morale of Bilal radiallahu an, he takes him out of slavery, and he puts him on the high pedestal of the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1400 years ago, he displayed to us the solution to racism, which we can implement in this country as well. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah give us the tawfiq to make amal. Allah once again makes us successful leaders, not only in this country, not only in our homes, not only in the organizations, but globally as a ummah. Once again, Allah makes us true, successful Muslim leaders. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.